Okay, let me begin by first and foremost thanking my legal team. You all know who they are, Sam Adams Sr., Sam Adams Jr., my friend Sheldon Starosky. Let me go down the list. Lauren Caseberg and Elliot Reedman and Aaron Goldstein and Michael Gillespie, who has a torn hamstring. Mark Martin, who is a guy who's very good with the legal books. I want to thank them. I want to thank Jay Wallace for being here, Keenan Salters, and all the other young attorneys who worked hard on our behalf. Let me also express my appreciation to the men and women who served on the jury. Thank them for their hard work, for giving up their summer. They did their duty as citizens, and they deliberated, and they took time. And I want to thank them for their hard work and for their deliberation and for the sacrifice that they made as our citizens. Let me also say to the people of Illinois that from the very beginning when this all happened, I told them that I did not let them down. I didn't break any laws. I didn't do anything wrong. The government, the federal government, and this particular prosecutor did everything he could to target me and prosecute me, persecute me, put pressure on my family, try to take our home, take me away from our kids, arrest me in the early morning hours on December the 9th. With Patty and me in our bedroom and our little Annie in bed with us, a sitting governor. And that very prosecutor said that he was stopping a crime spree before it happened. Well, this jury just showed you, notwithstanding the fact that this government and the power and the resources that they bring to bear, this jury just showed you that notwithstanding the fact that the government threw everything but the kitchen sink at me, that on every count except for one and every charge except for one, they could not prove that I did anything wrong, that I did break any laws, except for one nebulous charge from 5 years ago, a conversation that I had with the FBI, where the FBI, and I agreed to that interview, refused to allow me to have a court reporter in the room. I want the people of Illinois to know I did not lie to the FBI. I've told the truth from the very beginning. This is a persecution. We have police officers who are being gunned down on the streets. We have children who can't play in front of their homes in the summertime because they might get gunned down. And we have a prosecutor who is wasted and wants to spend tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money to keep persecuting me, persecuting my family, take me away from my little girls, as well as take my home away from us. But I want to thank the men and women of this jury for what they came up with. Most people say you can't fight City Hall, and most people have said from the very beginning, when the federal government and these prosecutors come after you like they did me, and they threw everything they could at me, 24 charges that I've said from the beginning are false, and the jury agreed that the government did not prove its case. And let me also point out that we didn't even put a defense on, and the government couldn't prove its case. And so Patty and I are going to continue the fight, because this fight is a lot bigger than just me and my family. This is a fight for the very freedoms that we as Americans enjoy, the right to be able to be innocent, the right to be able to do your job and to not be lied about. And so we're going to continue the fight. And again, I just want to express my gratitude to the men and women of the jury and remind the people of Illinois, I didn't let you down. The jury has shown that the government couldn't prove that I did anything wrong. We're going to appeal the lying decision, and we're hopeful that the law is on our side with regard to that.
Governor, are you ready to testify in the second trial?
That's true. However, you have to remember where we're at, Mr. Gowdy. We're here at a time in which, after 18 months, the government came down here, and for 18 months we heard that this was a crime spree, that these were horrible things that had happened. And 12 men and women did their duty and said, you know what, the government, whatever you want to say, could not prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, that's where we're at. Now, if you want to figure out exactly who's to blame for the 24th count, look at me. Blame me. I was the one who came in here and did the opening statement. I was the one that took on the FBI agents. I was the one that obviously did not do a good enough job of cross-examination and in my closing argument of showing that that was about state contracts and not about fundraising. Blame me. But I have said consistently, and from December 17th when I got on this case, I went down on the impeachment. I came down here time and time again. I gave opening statements. I said from the very beginning that this government could not prove Rod Blagojevich guilty of a single offense when it comes to any kind of corruption or anything like that. And we were right. We were right when we said that, Mr. Gowdy, because they didn't do anything wrong. I said follow the money. And where do they follow the money? Right back to the IRS. I said, when you come in here and you look at him and you know Lon Monk's going to tell you, without a doubt, this man wouldn't take cash. And what did Lon Monk come in here and tell us, Mr. Gowdy? He came in here and told us that of all the people, best friend, people that he'd spent time with, people that he had been around, that Lon Monk knew him better than he knew himself since law school. And he said, I couldn't tell him I was taking cash because I knew he would never approve. Now that's what you just saw. That's the man who just left. And if you want to blame somebody, I'm looking at every single camera. I'm talking to the people of Illinois. I'm talking, and they're going to say it, that I'm talking to the next jury. Yes, I'm talking to the next jury. You want to blame somebody, you look right at me and say, Sam obviously didn't do a good enough job. And when it comes to the next time, I guarantee you, we'll do everything we can like we did this time to make sure. I don't know. I tell you this, I woke up this morning at about 1:15. I haven't been to sleep. I woke up yesterday about 1:15. I didn't sleep then. I can't tell you what this next hole. This is all brand new to me. You want the honest to goodness answer? Two. I'll give you two. So let me get it. Number one, I don't know. And this is why I don't know. Why should the people of Illinois and the taxpayers in this county pay me? Why should, when we have dead babies on the street, when we have police officers in uniform that are day to day being shot and targeted by gang members, why should the people of Illinois pay a criminal defense lawyer when we've already been through trial? Now, I don't know if anyone's got an answer. I wish this entire group would go upstairs and ask Mr. Fitzgerald one question. I understand he's got an important job, but why are we spending $25 to $30 million on a retrial and you couldn't prove it the first time?
Because he hasn't been proven innocent, though.
That may be, but isn't there more important things out here? Seriously speaking, isn't it more important that perhaps we go to the communities out here that are being victimized by the people who live in it and say, we're going to help you. The money we would spend on a retrial, we're going to give back to the people of Illinois. Why shouldn't that be done? That's a very good question. I don't know. I can tell you this. We don't know what. Why would a prosecutor who after 10 seconds, seriously, 10 seconds of hearing what the verdict is, jump up and say, no matter what, we're trying this case again? You want to think about it, wouldn't you? You want to say, look, let us sit down and reorganize our thoughts here. Is this worth it? And that's what I ask the people out there. Is this worth it?
If there was one element you could point to in this case that resulted in most of these counts being hung, something you did from a strategy point of view, even not putting him on the stand, what was it that led to a hung jury here?
Honestly, my honest goodness answers what I've been saying all along is, like I said in opening, you're going to find out that he is a fundamentally non-corrupt individual. He is not corruptible. And when the evidence came out and showed that, now it became a question of, were there some technical violations here and there? And the government couldn't prove there was, and this jury, who thank God that this is a jury who spent 14 days, took their time, took their lives, took this case seriously. I thank them, and from the bottom of my heart, I mean this. If you want to blame somebody, blame Sam Adam Jr.
Are you concerned?
Sam, what did you see when you heard the prosecutor say
they could charge Patty Blagojevich?
What about Patty Blagojevich?
Are you concerned they could charge Patty?
No, I'm not concerned. She didn't do anything either. Everybody knows that she worked for her money. Everybody knows that. Listen, this guy Fitzgerald is a master at indicting people for non-criminal behavior. And if you don't believe me, go ask Scooter Libby. Same thing happened with him. They couldn't get him on any substantive offense, so they got him on some bull case that wasn't even a crime. Ask Scooter Libby. This guy is going wild. This guy is nuts. He doesn't indict people for crimes and then prove it. He didn't prove it against Scooter Gibby, and he can't prove it against Rod Blagojevich.
Are you saying lying to a federal officer is not a crime?
I'm saying that he indicted him by telling the newspapers and everybody else, and the newspapers picked it up. Where's Mark Brown to tell you about it? Every day he was out there in the paper talking about how guilty he is. Well, wait just a moment. Chuck Gowdy, the senior newsman here, has a question. The answer... the answer is they got him on something that he had no opportunity to really defend. He got himself a lawyer 5 years ago who was an ex-U.S. attorney, my pet peeve, who had him make statements to the FBI that weren't on tape recorder and were not recorded by a court reporter. That's what happened here. And then the man comes down here and tells you, I stopped a crime spree. Lincoln is rolling over in his grave. He tells you all that and sets the press against this man. And for a year and a half, we've had to contend with the press, and we've had to, and I don't mean you guys. You guys are fine. I'm talking about the columnists. You guys, especially you, Paul. I'm not talking about, just a moment, Paul. Just a moment. This is one of those situations where he got to, he vilified the defendant so bad in the press that we had to, when the case started, Shelley and I, you know how we started this case? Shelley and I had to go to Ace Hardware and find a ladder to crawl up to the bottom. That's how low we were.
Nobody said not guilty. They just said
they couldn't prove it. Right. They had the government said they would. We don't have to prove our innocence. And don't forget, that's a good point. Don't forget, we didn't put on any defense. None, zero, zip, nothing. And they still couldn't get a conviction. And they couldn't get a conviction again.
This jury said,
are you going to put on a defense the next time?
The next time, I don't believe that Fitzgerald is going to prosecute him the next time because of the tens and twenties millions of dollars he spent this time. I don't know if the public will stand for him going out here and wasting public money like that. And next time, he'd have to pay the lawyers for the defense as well as pay for the prosecution.
Learning, Mr. Adam, may I ask this question? I tried with your son when the former governor, probably upstairs, said, are you with me for the next trial? What did you tell him?
I told him, let's get over the press conference because Paul asked some very, very pertinent questions.
Sam.
The governor's arrest was illegal.
They came into the
sitting constitutional officer, that was an illegal.
Let me tell you something. They came into the governor's house at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they took him out of his house and away from his baby and away from his wife, and they brought him down here in handcuffs. And what we didn't know at that time, but we now know, is that the same agents of Mr. Fitzgerald are out someplace getting Mr. Kozel. Remember Kozel? Gotten him, and while he's trying to dress his invalid wife, and to use his word, they terrified him out there. You know, this Fitzgerald thinks this is a banana republic in Illinois or something.
Gentlemen, if in fact you think that they got him on only count 24, lying to the FBI, did the guys from 26th in California prove something in this building?
I don't think it proves anything. It proves, if anything, that they didn't have a case in the first place about the crime spree stopped. The only crime spree that was stopped in this case, I'll tell you what the crime spree that was stopped was. The crime spree was Fitzgerald violating people's constitutional rights, and that was stopped today by the jury. The jury stopped that.
Do you think it was the right call for Rod not to testify?
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you this about the call, and I have to disagree with my son. Every decision on this case was talked about by the lawyers, and then it was brought to me, and we all discussed it. If there was a decision that was not right, including that one, it was mine. It wasn't his. It wasn't Lauren. Where's Lauren? Where's poor Lauren? Here she is. It wasn't here. It was my decision. If mistakes were made in this case, it was my fault. My fault. I take the blame.
What was the governor's reaction to facing prison?
I'll tell you what his reaction was. I'll tell you what his reaction is. And I can give you this as an absolute prediction with guaranteed certainty. Before the sun goes down tonight on the Chicago River, Ron Safer and Pat Cotter and the rest of those ex-U.S. attorneys will be saying, this was a great government win. This was a great government win.
But Sam, are you going to appeal? Are you going to appeal these?
Well, first we're
going to
go back before the judge and ask for a new trial. That's the first. That's the first step on this.
He was convicted of something that he didn't get a chance to defend himself.
I didn't say that. I never, Paul, I mean, Phil, I never said he didn't get a chance to defend him. We have, now please, Phil, you know, you're known for quoting people accurately. Don't spoil your record, Phil. Don't, if you have any problem with it, ask Jay right there. Jay will help you out with
Sam,
it.
Sam, all this being said.
What's that?
Please explain it. They got him on something he had no opportunity to defend.
He had, because they tried to make him remember what he said 5 years ago without a reporter while the FBI is making notes. Now, I don't know if those notes were right or not, and nobody else does. I know that 5 years ago, when he had an ex-U.S. attorney representing him, and any lawyer that takes somebody to the FBI and lets them make a statement without a court reporter is incompetent, in my judgment. But that's what he did. And he allowed him to make a statement. Nobody had any defense notes on it. The FBI writes down what they say he claims. And you know, the FBI isn't the paragon of virtue with respect to veracity that is sometimes claimed by them. And they made these notes, and then they come in and read the notes 5 years ago. You think that's worth the millions and millions of dollars they spent on this prosecution? Am I right? Am I right, Shelley?
Absolutely.
If the governor was so innocent of these charges, why didn't the jury
acquit him? Well, I have to ask the jury that. I don't know. I don't know. All right, that's enough questions.
Yes. Sam, would you do anything different in the second trial?
No, I'm not one of those people that second guess yourself. I'm one of those people that think about it, you make your decision, and then you live with it, and if it turns out that it isn't the best decision, just a moment, Shelley, hold it, I want to answer a question. If you think about it, and you make a decision, and you go with it, then that, you know, however it turns out, with any decisions that were wrong in this case, any decisions that were erroneous are mine.
What about
not my team.
Judges?
Not my team.
Would you critique Judge Zagel's handling of the case? How did Judge Zagel do in this case?
He gave us a fair trial.
Well, that's Shelley speaking, that's not me.
So you wouldn't call Tony Resco?
Tony Resco?
Yeah.
Who is he?